In the ministry, we are called to serve people. We are the body of Christ, and people have needs and expectations, and you can't fill them all, but you are representing God, after all, to some degree. And you're representing the God who is always there for you. He will never leave you or forsake you.
When is the last time you told someone, "I'm here for you," with every intention of being there for them? How we treat not just believers, but especially unbelievers, indicates how closely we follow Jesus. Today on The Connection, Skip Heitzig challenges us to make ourselves more available. But before we get into that, here's Skip with an opportunity for married couples to draw closer to each other and to the Lord.
Okay, so picture this. You blissfully awaken to the soft rays of the sun warming your face. Step out of your oversized guest room onto your lanai to the delight in the tropical surroundings. Walk along the sandy beach hand in hand with your spouse and take a stroll over to the garden lawn to sing praises to the Lord during morning worship led by Mercy Me or Francesca Battistelli, followed by a teaching from me and my wife, Lenya. And, well, that's just the beginning. Join us on the Love Song Couples Getaway, May 28th through June 3rd, 2017, at the magnificent Grand Hyatt Kauai. It's the resort and spa right there on the island of Kauai in Hawaii. You'll create memories that will last a lifetime. Visit lovesonggetaway.com for more information.
Jesus shared many meals with people throughout his ministry, and in each encounter, he changed those he was with. Here's Lenya Heitzig.
Ladies, sometimes your faith may fail, but your obedience does not need to fail. And as long as we continue to be faithful, those feelings will follow and our faith will build.
Learn how Jesus can change the way we give and receive hospitality with this month's resource from The Connection. For a suggested donation of $35 or more, you'll receive Lenya's book, Live Tastefully, Savoring Encounters with Jesus, a 10-week study that can be completed in a group setting or on your own. Each lesson includes a recipe to encourage you to live tastefully, just the way God intended. You'll also receive 4 booklets by Lenya that address important issues like temptation, trials, and forgiveness. Order this limited-time resource by visiting connectiononline.org/offers or by calling 800-922-1888.
Now, mark your Bibles in Acts chapter 2 as Skip gets into today's study.
As I look back on my own time of service here, my ministry, there's one period that was an epic failure to me. Oh, there are several, but one that really stood out to me this week of epic failure was the time that I was supposed to be at a wedding. I was invited to the wedding, but I didn't show. And the reason that was an epic fail is I was supposed to officiate the wedding. Yeah, I was that guy. And I think I had 3, maybe 4 weddings that week to do. And there's really no excuse. It was on my schedule. I just got preoccupied, caught up in the moment, and I forgot to be there. And my failure wasn't that I feel I have to be at every wedding or that I particularly enjoy being at all the weddings, but I had made a promise. That was the failure. I had promised that couple, "I'll be there for you." And I wasn't. And I feel strongly about it simply because in the ministry, we are called to serve people. We are the body of Christ, and people have needs and expectations, and you can't fill them all, but you are representing God, after all, to some degree. And you're representing the God who is always there for you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Can you imagine praying and getting a response from heaven, something like this? "Thank you for calling heaven. For English, press 1. For Spanish, press 2. All other languages, press 0. Please select one of the following options. Press 1 for requests. Press 2 for thanksgiving. Press 3 for complaints. Press 4 for all other inquiries. I'm sorry, all of our angels are busy helping other sinners right now. However, your prayer is important to us, and we will answer it in the order it was received. Please stay on the line. If you would like to speak to God the Father, press 1. Jesus, press 2. The Holy Spirit, press 3. If you would like to hear King David sing a psalm while you are holding, press 4. I do it just for that. To find a loved one that has been assigned to heaven, press 5 and then enter his or her social security number followed by the pound sign. If you receive a negative response, please hang up and try again. Our computers show that you have already prayed today. Please hang up and try again tomorrow. If you are calling after hours and you need emergency assistance, please contact your local pastor. Of course, he might not show up at your wedding. No, seriously, on behalf of our staff, our pastoral staff, our volunteer staff, our team of people who serve here, from people in the children's ministry to ushers and greeters to security, we are here for you, and we want you to know that. I want you to know that as a pastor, I absolutely love church. I love being at this church. And what I love about ministry, quite frankly, when I'm asked, so why do you love it so much? What I love is being a part of people's lives from birth to death. All of the different experiences in between. The joy of a wedding, even the grief and the ability to give comfort at a funeral. All of those various experiences, life is never dull. But what I really love is for not just a few of us, but all of us to say, I'm here for you. We're here for you. One of the reasons I come is to share my gifts with you. That's what I want all of us to be able to say. You know, as evangelicals, we have a curious phrase. It's not found in the Bible, but we use it a lot. It's called a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the phrase. It's a good one. And I know what we mean by it. I know what I mean by it. Usually I say that, we say that, because we want people to know there is a difference between just going through the motions religiously and having something relationally real with the living God. But in using the phrase, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, one might get the idea that we're just a bunch of individuals in a private, isolated, self-contained relationship with God. But do you know that you will not find in the Bible the phrase, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? You will find the idea and the phraseology about our corporate relationship with Christ, called the body of Christ. And perhaps it's better to say, I am a part of those who belong to Christ. Because when you start viewing it that way, you will come into the situation with other believers with a mindset that says, I'm here for you. Just like you would feel that they are there for you as well. Now, in an age when the church is viewed skeptically, and it is, in an age when there is a low-level commitment to Christianity, when the church is viewed as intrusive, you know, so people will go irregularly, sporadically, instead of actively involved, how do we fight against that? Are there ways to do it? I'm going to suggest 4 steps to take to improve your and my availability. 4 steps to improve our availability. First of all, we must recognize variety. Recognize variety. We got it right here, right now in this room. But let's look at it in the text. Go back once again to Acts chapter 2, verse 40. And we read part of that paragraph. And with many other words, he, Peter, testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. And then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. Would you notice the diverse range of believers in the paragraph we just read? You've got on one hand apostles, they're mentioned. Apostles are the advanced believers, the mature believers, the ones who know truth. They walked with Jesus, they're teaching the truth. But on the other hand, you have 3,000 brand new believers. 3,000 souls were added to them. They just were born again. Then you have those who sold their possessions and goods, and also those described as being in need. So in this group, you have the variety, and it ranges from spiritually immature all the way up to spiritually mature. You have those who are economically blessed all the way up to those who are economically depressed. There's variety in any church group. We need to recognize that. I remember a Sunday morning like this. I don't know which service, but the image is in my mind. I looked over to the front row, right over in this section, and sitting on the front row, there were two people that got my attention because they were so opposite. One was a man in a suit and tie, impeccably dressed, with a Bible. Next to him was a young man, all tatted up, with leather spiked arm bracelets and a Bible. And they were worshiping the same God. And I thought, that's variety right there. You couldn't get two diametrically, culturally opposed people than that. I don't know why it is, but we have sort of come up with this little thing in our heads that we try to conform people to an image of what a true Christian is. Now that you're saved, you need to like the songs that I like, read the version of the Bible I read from, and dress like I dress. That would be so boring. But we just have this little thing of putting people in a mold instead of recognizing the variety that exists in the church. And what this shows as we look at it, it shows how the body of Christ works. You see, the body of Christ is essentially a variety of gifts that are meeting a variety of needs. A variety of gifts meeting a variety of needs. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12. Now, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but it is the same Holy Spirit who is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service in the church, but it's the same Lord that we are serving. There are different ways in which God works in our lives, but it's the same God who does the work through all of us. So there's not one gift, there's not one person, there's not one way that the Holy Spirit works, there's not one denomination or special group that God works through. We should by now get the idea that God loves variety. He loves variety. I mean, look at the world he made. If you go on a road trip far enough, you will encounter desert, mountains, maybe even rainforest, ocean. If you go far enough, tundra. So the world that God has made is so varied. In the church, the body of Christ, there's a variety of gifts that meet a variety of needs. In the New Testament, some people have counted 9 spiritual gifts. Others count 15, others count 19. Others say there are 22 spiritual gifts. You have at least one of them. Probably more. And if you think of your unique personality and others' personalities and the gifts that God would put in each one, there is an infinite combination that begs to be discovered and enjoyed. The variety that God puts. And frankly, it's the variety of people with the variety of gifts that, for me, keeps the church interesting. I was thinking this week of all the different people who have come to this church that I have known, that have spoken here, they sang here, they were on staff here. Some low-key, some eccentric, some I liked, some I didn't like. But you know what I've discovered? God reserves the right to use people you don't agree with. He reserves the right to use people that you don't particularly like. That's the variety that he builds into his body. So let's not fight the variety. Let's enjoy it. God made you. He saved you. He called you. He gifted you. And then he threw the mold away. You are unique. And here we are, a variety of people. Some of us astute theologians. Others of us just entering what it means to believe in Jesus Christ. All together. Recognize variety. Here's the second step. Emphasize unity. Emphasize unity. Back to verse 44. Just the first part. Look at what it says. Now all who believed were together. What does that mean? Well, it means the obvious. They were in one place, right? But it means more than that. It's not just a unity in location. It's a unity in vocation. They were of one purpose, one heart, one vision. They shared the same purpose. One translation says, they lived in wonderful harmony. So, on one hand, you've got variety, and the other hand, you've got unity, and you need both. Because with a variety of individuals, you run the risk of every person doing his or her own thing, unless you have unity. Once you have unity, then you have all the parts working together. So though there was variety, it's counterbalanced by unity. Without unity, a group of people will malfunction. It's like a human body. Without unity, a human body will malfunction. Listen to this. If you're an adult of average weight, I know you're thinking, well, I'm an above average person. Well, maybe so. But if you're a person of average weight, here is what you accomplish in 24 hours. Your heart beats 103,689 times. Your blood travels 168 million miles. You will breathe 23,040 times. You inhale 438 cubic feet of air. You will eat 3.25 pounds of food, drink 2.9 quarts of liquids. You will lose 7/8 of a pound of waste. Sorry, it's just in there. You will speak 4,800 words. Some of you much more, including some unnecessary ones. You will move 750 muscles. Your nails will grow 0.00046 of an inch. I knew you were dying to know that. Your hair will grow, if you have it still, 0.0174 of an inch, and you will exercise 7 million brain cells. In 24 hours, you will do that. You can't do that unless there's unity. There has to be the brain coordinating all of the functions in the nervous system, the autonomic nervous system, so all the parts function together. And you know the church is like that. The head of the church isn't the pastor. The head of the church is Christ. And Christ has the right to send signals to all the different people, the members of the body, saying, I want you to do this. I've gifted you to do that. There's a need over here. And the Holy Spirit conveys the message of the head like the nervous system would to all the different parts of the body so that there is unity involved. It's what Jesus prayed for. In John 17, he prayed for the church and he said that they may all be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may be one in us. Jesus prayed that we would exhibit unity. And Paul the Apostle added to that, Ephesians 4, verse 3, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. What does unity mean anyway? Does that mean we're all going to agree on every topic? Are you kidding? That's insane to think that. That's uniformity, not unity. And that will never happen. Unity doesn't mean uniformity. Unity doesn't mean we're going to agree on every topic, every policy, every song choice. It's like a family. Is everybody in your family as wonderful as you are? Is everybody in your family as easy to get along with as you are? No, there's different personalities. Am I right in your family? Some are low-key, some are high-key. Some are morning people, some are evening people, night people. Different personalities, all in one family, in God's family. Not everybody gets along. You know, the 12 apostles argued, right? Not once, but a few different times. In a few short years, they argued about who'd be the greatest in the kingdom. Paul and Barnabas even split company because of an argument. That's in the church. In the book of Acts, there was a disagreement in Acts 15 about salvation and the relationship to the law of Moses. So I think after 2,000 years, we shouldn't expect that we're all going to smile at each other and agree on every topic, and it's not going to be that way. In the church, you have everything from those fuzzy fundamentalists to those kooky charismatics and every flavor in between. How do you get unity out of that? If unity doesn't mean uniformity, what does it mean? Simply this: we were all saved the same way. It's the same Savior who saved me that saved you. It's the same blood of Jesus Christ, not by our effort, but by His work that saved us. And we can all agree on that. And there are essentials of the Christian faith that we can all agree on. There are non-essentials and there are essentials. And we must always say, okay, we disagree on song choice or the rapture of the church, but those are non-essentials. What are the essential doctrinal characteristics that make us Christians? That we agree on. It's what Augustine said. He said, in essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. In all things, charity. That sums it up nicely. So we recognize variety. Second step, we emphasize unity. Here's the third step. Develop community. Develop community. Now, that's different than unity, and I'll show you why. We should develop a sense of community. Would you go with me to verse 44 once again, and verse 45. Now, all who believed were together and had all things in common, koine. Remember the word koinonia? We talked through that one. But look at verse 45. And they sold their possessions and goods, and they divided them among all as anyone had need. Who does that? Only people who say, we're here for you. We're here for you. Now, let's just take it a step further. Not much, but just a step further. Turn to Acts chapter 4. Just go right a couple blocks. Acts chapter 4. Look at verse 33. With great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each one as anyone had need. In the very next chapter, there's two people, Ananias and Sapphira, who sell land, give it to the apostles. Actually, they lie about it. But this was beginning a common practice in the church of sharing what they had with other people, giving generously to one another. But here's what I want you to see, because maybe you're thinking, uh-oh, he's going to ask us to do the same. Here's what I want you to notice. This was purely voluntary. This was not forced. It was not compulsory. And not everyone did it. Not everyone did it. Now, it says in chapter 4 that everyone was selling lands and homes, but I want you to see something back in chapter 2, verse 46. Look at this, verse 46 of Acts 2. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from what? House. What do you mean house? I thought everybody sold their house. But now we have somebody with a house and house to house. So a few people with houses. So apparently not everyone did that. All of that to show you that it was not compulsory. It was voluntary.
Do you encounter someone in your daily routine you know is lonely or looks like they need community? Invite them to church and be there for them. Now here's Skip to let you know what it means when you give financial support to The Connection.
Studying the Word of God changes lives. It's true, and we can't keep this truth to ourselves. We want to invite you to be a part of growing The Connection so even more people can see their lives changed through Bible teaching. When you support The Connection financially, you make it possible for others to receive these daily teachings from the Bible. Here's how you can partner with us.
Visit connectiononline.org or call 800-922-1888 to give a financial gift today. We are grateful for the support you give. You're invited to join Pastor Skip and his wife Lenya on an adventure to Alaska as they host a cruise in summer 2017. Get all the info at connectiononline.org. Next week, Skip wraps up our series Where Lives Are Changed with the call to believers to reach out with the love of Christ more.
Make a connection. Make a connection at the foot of the cross. Cast your burdens on His word. Make a connection. A connection.
The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.